Jacob Weiner in. Right, we have the pleasure of this conversation every couple of weeks for Hyundai Tucson Turbo Diesel in stock now. What was on Saturday night and what comes on Sunday afternoon. Jacob Weiner in, always great to have you on the program.
It's good to be back, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Now, just as a viewer, Saturday night was exhausting. It was impossibly cruel at the end. I have a slight emotional leaning toward you. At the moment, I felt like I needed trauma counselling at the end of it. That's to say nothing of the Blues fans who are in attendance or those who are out on the field. How did you digest what took place late on Saturday night?
Yeah, it was a tough one, Jared. Obviously, the game certainly came down to the wire. We've had a few of those and been able to get over the line sort of at the start of the year, but to be honest, I actually didn't see that last goal. I remember seeing the two-minute sign going up, and I said to myself, I'm going to make sure that my man doesn't get anywhere near the ball. And I think I was on Fritch at the time. We ran past the contest, and then I hear the roar, and, obviously, Cozzy kicked that goal. So it was incredibly disappointing. You probably saw the reactions of some of the boys, but you have to pick yourself up, and you've got to go again, and there's a pretty big motivation to get the job done this week.
Yeah, absolutely there is. Just take us to the final siren. What did you feel?
I mean, and it's 120 minutes of work, and we've sort of reviewed the game. We can go into it a little bit later if you like. We looked at it, and it was probably 118 minutes of a very good football, a brand that we really want to play, and I think Melbourne would probably say the same about themselves. It was a contested brand. There was lots of pressure, tackles. Our defence held up really well. I think they had 58 or 59 entries, which was 10 or 11 more than us, and they went at a lower efficiency. And I mean, we were really happy with the way we played up until those last 2 minutes. And there were just moments in those last 2 minutes that we probably could have grabbed a hold of and won the game from there. And I guess you look back as well, Melbourne's game the previous week, I reckon they went through a pretty similar review in how they could have won the game. So lots of learning, obviously incredibly frustrating and disappointed. I guess most people would have seen the reaction. It was a heart stopper, and the boys were pretty flat afterwards. But Vossi was able to get us up, and as I said, we've got very high motivation to go out against Collingwood this week and get a win. So I'm sure we'll do what we can there.
It was heroic, I thought, the way you played. It was that big stand for the prize that's on offer. Did you feel like you just laid it all out there?
I mean, in those sort of games, understanding who we're coming up against, we've played Brisbane, Melbourne, and now we've got Collingwood, all teams that are going to be playing in September. So it was always going to be a test this last 3 weeks, but I guess against the reigning premiers, you try and give it your absolute all. And I thought guys all over the field really stood up. I thought Sam Doherty was unbelievable in the midfield for the most part. Harry up forward was, obviously Charlie was somewhat taken out of the game by Petty and played a great game, and Harry got on the scoreboard. And you look at Liam Stocker and Marchbank and McGovern, those sort of guys coming back in and getting some continuity, it gives us some really good confidence going into the back half of this season. So hopefully we can, as I said, I'm not sure if I was on the radio before the last Collingwood game, but I might choose to tackle instead of bump this week against Collingwood. It should be a good game, though, for sure.
How forensic was the analysis of that last 2 minutes that you mentioned?
We watched it twice over. And again, you sort of just try and look at moments. I mean, no one ever goes out there to make mistakes.
No.
And I just remember the 2 minute sign going up, and I think there was about a minute to go, and we sort of won the ball back, and Harry takes an uncontested mark, and I think Charlie takes the uncontested mark out of the D50, kicks it to Harry, and then we can just maintain the ball from there. We miss a kick, we probably kick the ball a little corridor, and we go to a long down the line. There was a contest where I was able to seal, and you know, two blokes spoil each other. There was just a number of moments that we really could have just taken a hold of, and it's frustrating to look at, and understandably, I guess everyone involved, it's not just the individual players, everyone involved is frustrated and wants to do better. And as I said, they're going to be learning experiences. If the situation arises next week against a team that's done it 8 or 9 times this year, being able to get over the line in the last 2 minutes, we'll train that and hopefully get a job done. So, yeah, I mean, we looked at it in depth, but at the same time, that was the first thing we looked at. And then we looked at the previous 118 minutes, as I spoke about, which was a really, really positive outcome for us.
Yeah, so the coaching technique in that. So I'm a long-term believer that winning close games is a learned skill, and sometimes you have to have the other side of it to learn it and to ingrain it and then to roll it out next time. Is that the sort of approach that your coaches took?
No, I'd completely agree with that. You have to understand the game throws so many different scenarios at you. Obviously, defenders have got their things to worry about, midfielders, forwards, the same. And there's just different situations. It's like in the last 2 minutes, if you are up, you want to keep the ball in tight and try and get some repeat stoppages. You want to keep it in your forward half. Ideally, keep it close to the boundaries. Just all these little things that I guess you have to know as a player. And then at the same time, if you're a leader out on the ground, you've got to try and communicate it as best as possible. And yeah, obviously, there was, as I said, some moments that we really could have got done right. But I think if those moments arise again, the players that were involved and the team will certainly get those things done. So that's, yeah, I guess in a nutshell, that is how they went about it yesterday.
Jacob, the intangible question, the unanswerable, it'll only be there in hindsight, is how does a team who lays it all out there in such a manner and gets such overwhelming disappointment at the end, how do you dust yourself off to be ready to do it again in 8 days' time? Have you got an answer for that in prospect?
It is a hard question to answer. All I'll say is last year I had holidays booked for September, and this year there is a very, very hungry club in Carlton that wants to play at the back end of the year, and it's an awesome opportunity to be involved in. And what better team to come up against than Collingwood, the old rival. I believe tickets are sold out. I'm not too sure.
Yep.
And it's just going to be an incredible environment. And you can take it in one or two ways. You can see it as pressure, and obviously you'll get nervous and those sorts of things. Or it's a privilege to go out there and play. And I played out in front of a few, 70, 80,000 crowds in round one, but I don't think I've run out in a crowd. In front of a crowd this big, so and certainly, obviously, the stage is set. So we'll take it on board for sure, and I guess it just motivates me to go out and do a job for this team. So certainly there's the carrot at the end, but we've got to do a job, and there's a process behind it.
So this is an elimination final before an elimination final for you in a very real way. So the shapes, it'll be the biggest game that you've played in?
I would probably say so. Again, that's something we probably looked at yesterday as well. The moments that we've had across the season shouldn't go unrecognised. We've had games where we've been down and we've been able to come back. There's been games where we're up by a lot and teams have come back and challenged us and we've still been able to get the win. I mean, Richmond stands out to me. GWS up there, the Sydney game, the Fremantle game over here. So there's been moments and there's been games where we've been able to stand up and do a job. And obviously over the last 2 weeks, we haven't been able to do that. And there is that inner motivation to do the job with obviously the external noise that's probably going to come with this week. And it's just exciting. It's exciting to be, it really is all out. Obviously there may be you've got the Doggies game to look at as well, but that's completely out of our control, and that's what Vossi's been preaching, the controllables and the process, and that's what we'll focus on.
I love that insight. There's a few wise people in our game who say you get what you deserve, and you deserve this opportunity for all the work that you've done throughout the season. So is Michael Voss sort of drawing all that together to crystallise it for you?
Oh, I think he's just trying to instill in us that we have, it's been a process since, I think it was about November 22 when we came back and all the older boys came back with the younger boys a little bit earlier. The pre-season, we had a great one. Obviously, the inclusions we've had, and that's probably another thing, and it's never an excuse. Players are going down sick and injured, but we've had some pretty important guys come in and out of the side, and as I mentioned before, we've got some names that come in and do a really good job for us. So there's yeah, I guess your season's full of adversity, and it's how you sort of handle it and cope with it, and it'll really tell our story come Sunday.
So it's Collingwood and it's perfect. Is they're playing for a place in the top four, you're playing for a place in the top eight. It's the biggest Carlton-Collingwood game since the 80s. I think that's unarguable. So that's a long time before your time, Jacob. What does Collingwood mean to you as a rival?
It's a really good question, Jared. I think we may have tried to answer this question maybe last year. It was,
yeah.
It's a funny thing about rivalries. Obviously, with us, we probably haven't been anywhere near the top eight in recent years. And now both teams, there's stories behind each team. Collingwood's unbelievable back end of the year. Obviously, our sort of coaching journey up until now and the maturity of the group over the past 7-8 years. And, I can't go back to the 80s because I was born in 97. It's clearly a massive rivalry within our game, and rivalries are certainly unbelievable to watch. And from, I guess, what you hear is it's a privilege to play in them. And as I said, 100,000 people, family and friends watching, it's win or go home for us. It's cementing a very good season for Collingwood if they get the job done. So there's plenty to play for. The whole AFL world will be watching, and hopefully the Blues come out on top.
You've got me counting the days already. I can't wait to be there to watch it. So in all of it, just let me see if you've been following anything else, Jacob, while you're zeroed right in. I'm super curious. Your captain he wins the appeal on Thursday night and he plays. Great result for Carlton. Then Zane Cordy gets taken to the tribunal last night, which is a total head scratcher for all of us as to why that case is there, but he beats it. Where do you think we are with the bump, with collisions and concussion at the moment?
We've spoken about this previously. I'm very much about consistency, and at the moment we clearly don't have it. I think there's a lot of people talking about the game. This isn't necessarily coming from me or not my opinion, but the game is somewhat lost with what is going on with concussion, with the bump. I guess with the resulting injury that occurs from certain football actions as well. And I think that was sort of the argument with Cripper's one was you sort of saw his eyes were for the ball. He was going for the ball in the contest, and as a result, Callum Archie gets concussed. And it's unfortunate that that's the way it panned out. And obviously there's going to be a lot of media covering it because of, you know, Cripper as our captain and the way it sort of all panned out up until I think it was Thursday. No, I was in bed.
Yes.
I woke up the next morning and found out that my captain was playing. So it was either Walshy and I are going to be doing the speech pre-game, and I think we were more thinking about that than Cripper getting off. So obviously a massive boost from morale, and he came out and did a job for us on the weekend. But I guess back to your point, Jared, consistency is key. I'm not a massive fan of the injury. Depending on the action, of course, the injury sort of determining the amount of weeks of suspension as well. I think that's been a case that's sort of been argued the last, probably for this season. So it's certainly a tough one. It's probably got to be reviewed and looked at pretty carefully because at the end of the day, the safety of the player is paramount. And that should be the first thing in people's minds. And then from there, we can work out a strategy to... I guess make sure that we get the right result for the players that are either fined or suspended.
Yeah, it's not simple, and I think you've articulated that well. And the last one I was just going to ask you about is you would have a level of understanding, I suspect, for a few Essendon players at the moment when you're in a phase where there's just uncertainty, these vacuum days where there's a lot going on that you're not privy to whilst trying to prepare for footy. Can you put yourself in Essendon's shoes this morning with the recent experiences that you've had?
Oh, I think 12 months ago today, Jared, I was in their shoes.
Yeah.
And the Carlton Football Club was too. So I can certainly sympathise with what's happening at Essendon. And it's probably just the unknown for a lot of people, players, coaches, staff. And it's certainly tough to go out, train, do your job, go out and try and play and get a result for the club when there is a lot of noise that you really can't control as someone on the inside. So, again, when I saw, I think it was either the paper yesterday or the day before, I think I said to Harry at the cafe, that was us sort of 12 months ago, and sort of our journey, we thought about our journey and reminisced a little bit about how far we've come, and that's sort of a positive from our point of view, how far we've been able to grow as a team and as a club and unite. So there's every opportunity for Essendon to do the same. You can sort of see how fast it turns around. So hopefully they get things right in their departments.
Jacob, always great to catch up. The very best of luck for what's to come on Sunday, and hopefully when next we talk, you're preparing for a final.
Beauty. Thanks for having me, Joe. Cheers.
Jacob Wiedering, tomorrow's car is in stock today. Tech drive a Hyundai Tucson turbo diesel all-wheel drive. Great perspective on what took place on Saturday night, what they're gearing up for on Sunday, and a bit broader than that, the Essendon experience. That was Jacob's 12 months ago.